Upasakas and Upasikas. I need hardly tell you, on this, the third day of our convention, that there are many advantages in our coming together in the way that we are doing at present. Coming together in this way, we get to know one another better, see one another perhaps in slightly unexpected lights. We deepen our knowledge of the Dharma, both theoretically and practically. We strengthen our commitment, our common commitment to the three jewels. We intensify our positivity. Even if we did come to the convention trailing a few clouds, not of glory, but of gloom, they soon get dissipated. And of course, we renew our inspiration. We find, as it were, in the midst of the convention, in the midst of the order assembled here, a sort of perpetual fountain of inspiration, rising and falling, rising and falling, ever higher and higher. And for these 3 days, 4 days it soon will be, then 5, 6, up to 10 days, these 10 glorious days, we shall be living, we are living, a purely spiritual, or almost purely spiritual, life. We live in Sukhavati, not the Bethnal Green Sukhavati, of course, but another Sukhavati, another happy land, a land of bliss. We live, for the time being at least, for the moment at least, in the Dharma Dhatu, in the realm of the Dharma, the realm of the spiritual, even the realm of the transcendental, where we've nothing to do except listen to the Dharma, nothing to do except talk about the Dharma, practice the Dharma, and enjoy the Dharma in silence together. There's another advantage too in our coming together in this way, however infrequently it may be. Coming together in this way, we learn to see things in a wider perspective. After all, we've come together to this place from many different places. We've even come from different countries. We've come from different chapters, different local chapters of the order. We've come from different centers of the FWBO. We've come from different communities, both large and small. And a few of us have come from situations in which we're relatively on our own. That is to say, relatively on our own as order members. And in many cases it might be that we've been connected with our particular local chapter of the order, or connected with our particular local center of the FWBO, or our own community, for quite a long time. And we might not have had very much contact with other order members or with the rest of the movement. And not having much contact with other order members or with the rest of the movement, we might have started thinking or feeling, at least insensibly, that our own chapter was the order, or that our own center was the FWBO, or at least very, very representative and characteristic of it. We might even have forgotten, at least sometimes, that we belonged, inverted commas, so to speak, to something bigger than any one individual chapter, than any one individual centre or community. We might have forgotten, at least forgotten in any real sense, that we belonged, again inverted commas, to the order as a whole, as a totality, belonged to the movement. More poetically speaking, we might have forgotten that we ourselves were just one single jewel in a whole vast network of jewels. Forgotten, perhaps, that we were a jewel which should reflect all the other jewels in the net and be reflected in them and by them. I remember not so very long ago that one order member from a very distant place, so far as this place is concerned, told me that when he was in his own center, and I won't mention any names, he'd felt like a big fish in a small pond. But when he came to London, he said, and stayed at Sukhavati, he felt like a small fish in a big pond. So this is a very positive experience, a very worthwhile experience, because it means that in this way we widen our experience. But even Sukhavati, I mean the Sukhavati, big and important as it undoubtedly is only one community. And when we come together on convention like this, we widen our perspective still more. We see how many order members there actually are in existence, or at least begin to see, because they aren't all even here on this occasion. We see how different they are from one another in so many different, almost inexhaustible ways. And yet, they're all committed in their different ways, from their different standpoints, their different angles, within their different contexts, situations, circumstances, all committed to the three jewels, all committed to their own personal development, not only individually, as it were, on their own, but as it were, together, as members of one single, vast, all-embracing spiritual community. And we must never forget that the Buddha compared the Sangha, the order, to the great ocean. The order is a great ocean. The Buddha compared it with the great ocean in a number of different ways, as some of you may recollect. We've gone into this in the course of one of the study seminars. And one of his comparisons is particularly relevant, particularly apt. He says that just as the great ocean contains all kinds of marine monsters, so the Sangha contains spiritual monsters of its own, contains arahants, non-returners, once returners, stream entrants, and so on. Now in the ocean of the convention, we may not have met so far many monsters of that kind, spiritual monsters of that kind, but we've certainly met a lot of other fish. from little tiddlers to big whales. But who the tiddlers are and who the whales are is sometimes quite difficult to tell. But in any case, by coming here together on convention, our perspective is widened. And if ever we had thought that our own little pond was the ocean of the order, then that impression should surely by this time have been corrected. But even coming on convention is not enough. We have to widen our perspective still more, at least in imagination. We have to go beyond the present place, even beyond the present time. We have to so widen our perspective as to include the whole world. We have to widen it to include the whole of human history, especially the history of civilized man. And this is what we're going to do, or attempt to do, tonight, to widen our perspective in this way. Tonight we're going to try to achieve what I call a vision of history. And I use the word vision advisedly because I want to convey just a vivid general impression. And I can't do more than that. What I'll be giving you, as it were, or trying to give you, is not so much a finished picture, to change the metaphor, but just a very rough sketch, drawn in with very broad, even crude, strokes, and leaving out quite a lot of detail.